A doctor here has described our unhealthy lifestyles as frightening. Dr. Susan Connolly was speaking ahead of a new programme at the Southwest Acute Hospital in Enniskillen. Here is some of what she said.
We have a lot more unhealthy lifestyles. One in five of the population smokes, which is much higher than in England. The majority of us are overweight or obese. Our diets are very poor. We don't know how many calories eating. We are obese and we don't even realise we're obese. We don't move enough. It's all quite frightening.
Dr. George O'Neill is with us. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Vinny.
One of the things that jumps out of that immediately to me is people being overweight and not aware of it. How is that possible? Surely if you've got a belly, if you're wearing a certain size clothes, jeans, whatever, you're fat.
Well, you would think so. But I mean, if you look at the figures, 60% of our adult population are overweight. So 27% of our adults, that's you and me, are obese, and 36% are overweight. And if we even look at school children, Vinny, between age 2 and 15, 17% overweight, 8% obese. This is a major societal problem. And Dr. Connolly's made a number of interesting points. It's bigger than just the health service. We've really got to do something about this. If you look at the rates of obesity, it rises with increasing disadvantage. We have 23% of children here live in poverty. And that goes hand in hand with obesity, with smoking, with poor education attainment. This is a societal and social problem. It's not just a health problem.
Yeah, it seems
like... One of the easiest ways, Vinny, of working out, are you too fat? A male, waist should be below 40. A female, waist below 35. It's easy to measure you.
But you know what? You say that, but I did an item for Nolan Live. This is maybe 6 months ago, and I didn't realise that your waist size is not necessarily the size of trousers or jeans or whatever
wear. No, it's not.
But I don't think people are aware of that. My jeans, I think, were maybe a 33, 34, but my waist was actually up around 37, 38.
Yes, of course. Yep, of course.
I just don't understand how we seem to be sleepwalking into something like this. That this new program from Dr. Connolly, it aims to help provide people with more information and reduce the risk of heart attacks and strokes by becoming physically active, stopping smoking,
absolutely,
and having a better diet. But we know all that. So why are we still doing it?
Because we're not getting the message across. And what we need is a multi-sectoral, multi-agency approach. We've got to work with local government, central government. Got to work together. And all of society should be focused in on health promotion and disease prevention. But, Vinny, you've heard me repeatedly talk about the block grant. We spend half our block grant on health and social care, yet less than 2% is spent on health promotion and disease prevention. And if you look at the figures, in the UK, we're the third fattest country in Europe. Only Turkey and Malta beat us in relation to obesity. And when you think of all the disease that goes hand in hand with obesity, diabetes, strokes, heart disease, cancers, I mean, if you are a obese male, you're likely to have five times greater chance of getting diabetes than somebody who isn't obese. A female, it's 12 times as high. Obesity takes about 9 years off your life. I mean, there's so many of these things that are crucial and important.
Like 9 years, that is significant.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And if you come from a disadvantaged, deprived area, you're more likely to be obese, you're more likely to have difficulty with getting the right food, there's more likely to be smoking. And what we've got to focus in on is how we can educate the population to realise that they can improve their health. And, I see this daily in practice. We drink too much, we smoke too much, we don't exercise enough, and we eat too much. And it really has to be have health in all policies. So we've got to approach this from a global sense right across society. Education's involved in it, employment's involved, the health service has a degree to it, and the Ben-Gor report talked about personalised, preventative, participative and predictive approach to health. So you and I are responsible in a way for our own health, but we have to be given the tools to do it.
I wonder if we can simply convince ourselves of nearly anything. I had to go for a thing for my life insurance about 3 weeks ago, and they told me that I was 2.5 stone overweight. Now he put that down to my BMI, although he did say, because everyone's different in terms of the shape and the type of body that they have, I'm very, I suppose you would call, top heavy. So I'm probably about 1.5 stone overweight, but I had no idea. I thought I was fine. And it comes back to that thing, maybe it's a Northern Ireland thing that we think it's okay to have some meat on your bones.
Well, the figures prove us wrong, and because of what happens to you if you are overweight. Obesity, morbid obesity in particular, is associated with significant illness, and it is a life-limiting condition, and we've got to remember that. And I think we really have to look at and the society we live in thrives on marketing on healthy lifestyles. So you turn on the television, you look at the ads and newspapers, you go into the supermarket, they're pushing calories at you, and we've got to have a way of dealing with that so that we fight against it, and we're not doing it. And what we need to develop is a healthy, resilient society. We don't have that. We haven't got the message out there.
1 in 5 of us in Northern Ireland smoke. And I don't think anyone I have ever met thought that smoking was good for your health. We all, again, know it's really bad for you. It leads to cancer and all sorts. But 1 in 5 are still doing it.
And once again, that's down to try and get a message across, try and educate people.
But we know that. No, have you ever met someone that thought it was healthy to smoke?
No, I haven't. No, they realise it. They do that.
So was it down to the addiction of it and the ability to not be able to get off it? Maybe more help needed by the NHS?
Well, I think really what my approach would be to, I would be looking at the future generations. I would look at education to try and educate people of the dangers of smoking. I would start that in schools. And hopefully it'll work its way through the generations.
Do you think we would have the same approach here if we didn't have the NHS? If we didn't know in the back of our heads that, well, you know what, there's a fairly, it's got its problems, but a fairly good health service there that we pay for through our taxes. And if I do get sick, it'll help look after me.
No, I don't think people approach it like that at all. No, I don't. I don't think so at all. I think we just haven't got the message that what's important. And what's important is less alcohol, stop smoking, moderate exercise, and reduce the amount of calories you take in. Zip your lips up. I mean, that really will help, and the quality and quantity of your life will improve automatically if you do that. But once again, if you come from a disadvantaged area with all the problems that go with that, it's very easy for you and I to say this, Vinny, but in some areas, this is a big, big challenge to try and deliver this when there are other priorities, when you've got because of the disadvantage that you're facing, unemployment, your education attainment, all the things that go inner city problems.
Okay, Dr. George O'Neill, thank you very much. Let's take a few calls on this. Nigel, good morning to you.
Yeah, I suppose I can agree a lot with what George said there, but I felt the earlier input this morning seemed to be almost thinking about this as blaming and educating individuals. I think really it's an issue more of public policy. So I'm thinking around smoking. Maybe it's time we need radical interventions there.
What do
you
mean?
People now wear seatbelts in their car, not only because they were told it would save their lives, because it's mandatory, it's against the law not to. So maybe we need to be radical about smoking. The sale of cigarettes could be made illegal. Let's think ambitiously about this.
But do you think it's that realistic?
Well, why isn't it realistic? People thought 40 years ago that wearing seatbelts was unrealistic and nonsensical. We can all remember travelling in the back of our parents' cars with no seatbelts on. But even then, going further, I was saying to your researcher, I'm a member of our new local leisure centre, brilliant facility, getting loads of people. What are the only things you can buy in the vending machines right at the front door? I'll tell you what they are. They're soft drinks, crisps, chocolate, and ice lollies.
Does this not all come down, Nigel, to willpower?
No, it's not about willpower.
But we are putting this food into our bodies. We are deciding to sit on the sofa and not exercise, and deciding to smoke those cigarettes.
No, we live in an obesogenic environment. I would say go home and ask your children what they get in their school dinners. My children don't often eat the school dinners. There's still lots of chips all the time.
Even if you're bringing a packed lunch with you, it has to have certain things and can't have certain things. So there are schools
if your child comes
to school with crisps or fast food, it's in trouble.
Yeah, and I think that's fair enough. And people will go, where's the individual freedom and that and so on. But I think that's fair enough. But I think we've got to move away from only blaming the individual. There has to be a public policy response and more of a community response because... Yeah. it's not in the interests at the minute of the large corporations and the large shops to sell us anything other than the food that they can make quick, easy profits on.
Okay, Nigel, Nigel, thank you. Robert, next in Belfast. Good morning. It's Robert, the taxi driver. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I can picture you now in your wee cab with your wee flat cap on.
Yes, that's me, Finney. That's the same guy. Finney, very, very simple here, I would say. I honestly believe one of the biggest causes to obesity is the car, and technology is taking up too much of people's time. The like of yourself, Finney, you're 2.5, I heard you recall, you're 2.5 mile from your place of work.
Yes.
Why don't you get up a bit earlier in the morning?
I get up early enough as it is. I'm up at the crack of dawn and I nearly cry at this point when my alarm goes off. You want me to get up even earlier?
Get up earlier and walk that 2.5 mile into work and then that stone and a half you're over.
There's no footpaths. I'm sounding like I'm making excuses now. There's no footpaths along most of that road.
Aye, you'll be all right. Now, what I want to say to you, Finney, and all the listeners, very simple. Let's get busy, go! Fizzy go! Get out of your car and get fizzy go! Fizzy go!
Is this man singing Olivia Newton-John to me?
And get fizzy go!
Do you know if everyone if everyone took your... Don't call me Vinti. If everyone took your advice, right, and walked, you would be out of a job.
No. You could walk to... If people even start parking their cars and walking to bus stops, they're doing something.
All right, so you want us to walk to the taxi rank?
Well, I tell you here very clearly, I'm not hypocritical, because when I put down this phone very shortly, yes, I walk for 2 hours, 7 mornings a week, don't I? And there's nothing wrong with my weight.
What do you weigh?
I'm going to give you a good school of thought here, and all the listeners.
Okay.
Teach your brain to eat when you're hungry, and when you're not hungry, don't eat.
Well, that is a fair point, because I eat a lot of the time when I'm not hungry and I'm maybe bored. So
you're caught in technology.
Yeah,
you're caught up in technology. When you're in the technology game, what you're doing is eating. Everybody's doing the same. Technology is ruining you. Bottom line, I've never used a computer, Facebook, internet. I've never texted anybody in my life.
Okay. I think you've texted me before, Robert.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to check my phone now. I'm going to check. Robert, thank you.